Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. That's the name of this program. I'm Nicholas, and we're going through the Book of Romans today. And we made it all the way to chapter 3. Well, let's pick up here. What advantage then hath the Jew, or those of national Israel, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. And we already read that, so let's find out where we left off here. Not very far ahead here. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, and every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous, who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then, how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not, rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And all of that, our Messiah said it so easily, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's it. Flesh and blood. It doesn't matter what nation you're of. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understands. There is none that seeketh after God. And this is the condition of man without his Holy Spirit, without the Spirit of God moving in the lives of men. This is all of our condition. Of course, he makes us righteous. We put on his righteousness. But in context, that's Paul is expressing here, the condition of men without the Spirit of God moving in their lives. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There are none that seek after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, and with their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And that's what Paul's describing here, is what he ends up saying, is these are people that don't fear God. Remember what the prophet said? He said, the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning. Without that, you don't even begin. And that reverence, that holy reverence, that awe and dread, yes, because we are sinners, because we deserve death, the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. And that's what Paul's expressing there here, that those that do not fear God, they don't know peace. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Mouths full of cursing and bitterness. That's what he's expressing. There is no fear of God before their eyes. They just do whatever they want. You see it? It's demonstrated out there in the world every day. You got people destroying families. You got people murdering entire villages of people simply on the basis that they maybe love God, or they don't think the way they do, or perhaps they won't convert to their religion or their idea of the kingdom of God on earth. They're trying to take it by force because they are violent, because the fear of God is, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know, Paul continues, that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Now, what does this mean? You know, I had one guy sent me an email saying, oh, well, this is a contradiction. Because one minute Paul's talking about the righteous keep the law of God, but here he seems to be saying, now no flesh shall be justified in his sight by the deeds of the law. Is there a contradiction here? Well, no, not in context of Scripture, and that was the point I tried to make when I answered this man, and there's a whole movement out there, and it's been out there quite a while, to destroy the Bible, really, the Word of God, and by attacking the so-called Pauline text, of which Romans is part, and they point to contradictions like this. They take the one part, which we read already several chapters ago, where Paul says that you need to be a doer of the law, because the doers of the law will be justified, right? Not just the hearers. Didn't Paul say that? But if he said in the same sentence what he says here, expresses here in chapter 3 of Romans, then it would be a contradiction. But if you take each of those expressions in the context in which they were given, there is no contradiction at all. Because what Paul's expressing here, it says the deeds of the law. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified. And that's true too. And how can that be true? Why isn't there a contradiction there? Well, because it's true that no matter how good we are, no matter how perfect we become, we can never erase our past sin. And for that, we deserve death. We can never erase the sin debt of our fathers. And for that, we were born into a condition of mortality. For that, we were born mortals. And we inherited death from our fathers. And then we went and sinned on our own. That's right, we broke his law on his own. And for that, we deserve death. So by the deeds of the law, no man can be justified. We are justified by the work of the Messiah. When he laid down his life, when he spilled his blood, and we give our lives to him, his blood covers us because we now belong to him. And his blood covers everyone that belongs to him. And how do we know we belong to him? Because we're living in his kingdom and he is our king. And we have a heart's desire to do only the things which please him. And how do we know that we're in his kingdom? Because we reverence his law. Because we fear God. Because we want to live a life that's pleasing to him. That's how we know that we belong to him. If that evidence doesn't come forth in our life, then we haven't entered into his kingdom. He isn't our king, and we aren't covered by his blood, because he owns everything in his kingdom. You may walk around, you know, you may have walked down the aisle at some great crusade, or you may have gone to your priest last Sunday and every Sunday and told him all your sins, and he said your sins are forgiven thee, and then you go out and do the same things, unless you continue to walk in his kingdom. See, because if you're not obeying his law, you're not in his kingdom, and your sins are not covered by his blood. So, the doers of the word are justified. But, Paul expresses something else here. He said, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. So we aren't justified because we're doers. We are doers of the law because we are justified, because our sins are covered by him. And it goes back to what Paul, what perhaps James expressed more fully and in clearer terms. without contradiction, he said, I will show you my faith by my works. Because faith without works is dead. So there's a good check for you. Yes, you are justified by your works, but your works testify of your faith, and the just shall live by faith. And, you know, perhaps this is one of those mysteries that the ungodly can't understand. I'm having a hard time expressing it. You know, for someone who doesn't understand, perhaps even as I'm saying it, it sounds contradictory. I'm trying to express it 10 different ways here so that perhaps you can turn it over and you know, take a hold of it and understand it. But perhaps it is one of the mysteries of the kingdom of God, which can only be understood by those who are living and walking in his kingdom, by those who love him with all their hearts and seek only to do those things which please him. For those of you that have entered into his kingdom, I know that you understand the mysteries. All of these mysteries are expressed for us. And when you see a mystery, you know, I encourage you. When the Bible says mystery, I encourage you to seek it out, to understand that mystery. If you need some help, you can ask, email me. You can find my email address there at crosstheborder.org. And, you know, just put in the subject line, Nicholas, or Cross the Border, so that the email doesn't get lost in the spam folder or tossed out or ignored. Because when you get thousands of emails, so put Cross the Border or Nicholas on the subject line, and that way I'll get your question. And perhaps I can help you, you know, to understand the mystery a little clearer. That's what I'm here for. I want people to understand the mystery of the kingdom of God. I want people to understand the mystery, what mystery Babylon is, so that we know where we stand in this, in our time. We know, we aren't relying on some false prophecies by some false prophet who thinks that he's better because he's deceived himself and others into thinking he's a Jew by changing his name and things like that, all that kind of nonsense. And it's sad, too. It's very sad that these people think that the kingdom of God can be inherited by flesh and blood. Now, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. It's not what nation you are of. Okay, continue here in Romans chapter 3, and let's see, often quoted verses here. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Yahshua the Messiah, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. And that's the point that Paul is making here. That's why I say you have to take it in context. Paul said, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. And in context he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, you know what? If you have never sinned, then you could be justified by the deeds of the flesh. But the problem is we all have sinned. And we all have come short of the glory of God. And what is the glory of God? Well, it's Yahshua, the Messiah, because he is the man who never sinned. And he was born of a new seed. He was not born with a death sentence. How about that? Because he was born of the Holy Spirit, a new seed created in the womb of the young virgin. So he didn't inherit death like we did. And then he never sinned himself. And that's why he was able to rise from the dead. He laid down his life willingly so that he could shed his blood for us. He didn't need to do it for himself. And now, you know, many people are on that plan where they're going to pay the price for their own sins. That's the plan that most people choose. Not a good idea as far as I'm concerned, because the problem with that the price for your own sins plan that most men choose is that they won't be able to escape death like the Messiah did. And it's only because his blood is on us when we choose to follow, when we give our lives to Him, we belong to Him. And because we belong to Him, His blood covers us. But don't pretend like you belong to Him. Because if you belong to Him, His Holy Spirit is going to convict you of sin, and you're going to start becoming a doer of the law. That's what Paul said a couple chapters ago. You want to become justified? You become a doer of the law, because not only hearers. And what did Yahshua said? The same thing. He said, not everyone who calls me Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now, Paul is not saying anything contradictory or new. He's saying the same things that the Messiah said, just in different way. He's just expressing the same things in a different way. So all those people who want to attack Paul and the Pauline doctrines and the Pauline writings, well, you're out to lunch, man. You don't know what you're talking about. Paul is in 100% agreement with the Messiah. If you want to call Paul contradictory, then you're going to have to call the Messiah contradictory. And didn't the Messiah, can we pick a couple verses here and there out of things that the Messiah say and build a contradiction? Yes, we can. If we take a phrase here out of context, and then we take a phrase here out of context, and we bring those two phrases together, and we say, hey, there's a contradiction. I could do that all day long for you. Didn't the Messiah say, if I testify of myself, my testimony is not true? Didn't he say something like that? Yeah, you remember that. But then didn't he say, the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins? Isn't that testifying of himself? See, I'm taking two different things out of context and bringing them together to form a contradiction. Like I said, we could do that all day long. Every book of the Bible, we could find contradictions by every author of the Scripture in every book by taking things out of context and bringing them together to form a contradiction. That's what the atheists do. It's so goofy. You know, you go to your atheist website, and that's what they do. They take a Scripture, a phrase here and a phrase there, they bring them together, and it sounds like a contradiction to me. Well, you know, I read the Bible. I read those things in context. There's no contradiction. Heck, take any atheist book. I could find contradictions in that. Anyone's writings, not just the Bible. If you want to take things out of context, you can build contradictions all day long. So enough of that silliness. Now, Paul's writings are in complete conformance and agreement with everything the Messiah said. Because I can point back to things that the Messiah said about all these supposed errors that Paul introduced. And I can show you that the Messiah said the same thing. He may have expressed it in different terms, but basically, Paul's writings are in 100% complete compliance with the words of the Messiah. So let's just throw all that other stuff out and all that anti-Pauline doctrine garbage. Because all they're doing is tearing down the Word of God. Because where does it end? Once you start tearing down the Word of God, and that is really the point, is to tear down God's Word. Somewhere in the hearts of these men that are doing this, they have sin, either secret sin or lust, things that they want to justify that the Word of God does not give them license to do. They want to justify those things, but go to heaven anyway. That's how it works, isn't it? It's as bad as the homosexuals. Well, God's law won't license us to get married. We better go to our God, the state. It's the same thing. They just want license to sin. And if Paul doesn't give them license, oh, well, we better tear down that Pauline doctrine. But I can show you where Paul is in complete compliance, point by point, as we go through his doctrines and his writings, and how Paul and the Messiah are in complete compliance with the Old Testament and God's law. Completely in compliance. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Yahshua, Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Yahshua, our Messiah. And it says Christ Jesus here in the Authorized Version. verse 25 of chapter 3, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. There's a pretty fancy word there for you. To be a propitiation. And I believe we're going into a break here. So let's pick up on propitiation when we get back. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.